I want to look at Psalm 121, which some of you, if you're like me, you learnt it at school a few years ago. But Psalm 121, if you haven't, I'll read it out. And I really feel this is a word for you. It's a word for me and all every day, I suppose. Where the psalmist says, and I'll read it, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." It doesn't need a lot of comment on it, really, but I'm going to do it. You know, we live in an age of insecurity. Who would have thought that we would live in an age in England where, at a Bible week, you have policemen with automatic rifles primed as you go into the Bible week? Who'd ever thought in 2018 we'd see that? But that's, you know, we have to be realistic. We're in a fallen world. And Jesus said, don't be surprised. But we live in an insecure world. And if you're like me, you get full of fear. It's part of our nature, really. But this psalm is good news. It's not him speaking to God. It's God speaking to us. And we have to sing this song. And this psalm is for you. Now, it's about pilgrims. If you're a pilgrim, if you lived in Israel as a Jew, you're expected to go once a year, or more if you were wealthy, to Jerusalem, to one of the three festivals, Passover, Pentecost, or Tabernacles. And you would walk. Now, let's just say, well, Newcastle, it's for some in northern Israel, the northern tribes, it would be like you walking to Birmingham. It's a long walk. You might have a donkey if you were wealthy, but it's a heck of a long walk, and all the dangers in those days of walking. You know, we're all getting a bit arthritic, and well, you're not, but I am. But it's a long way. There's dangers from robbers. The biggest hint, not the biggest one, the biggest thing is the sun. We've had a fantastic week, but the Brits will be complaining soon it was too hot, But it's been a wonderful, but it is a dangerous thing, the sun. It can make you very ill. You get sunstroke, you can get burnt by the sun, and all manner of things as you travel. You can be, in those days, you can be attacked by robbers. The transport in London is sometimes a bit dodgy. It can be quite an insecure place. Even in Britain, and probably, dare I say, getting more insecure. I don't know. But anyway, things can happen as you walk. I don't know, whether you do a lot of walking. Some of us used to do. But you can get tired out. You can fall. You can have accidents, and it can happen. And we can be prone to this. But we cannot guarantee our security in one sense. Life is hard, someone said, and then you die. Well, it's a bit pessimistic, that. But how shall we travel? I mean, we're just delighted to be here, John. We've looked forward to coming to this little meeting. It's just a delight. I don't care how many come, it's just lovely to be with you. I mean that. And we got, I mean, it is a miracle that this young man and that lady actually got it to work this year. That after 4 years, it actually worked, which is a miracle in itself. But we look forward to being with you. But let's look at the psalm. Let's see, well, how are we going to travel? You may be just on your estate, your house. You may not travel far, but we're all to go to move around, haven't we? Well, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence does come my help." Now, the problem, we've just come from Kendal. I was speaking there this morning, and the mountains are covered in rain cloud. It was rainy when we left Tibe and all that area, and we came into sunny Newcastle. But you know, and we love the hills. We were in the Dales yesterday in Yorkshire. A beautiful day. The problem is, the hills are the problem in this psalm. You see, because as these pilgrims came back or went to Jerusalem, certainly after the exile from Babylon, which is when the psalm was written, every hill, like, you know, the hills I went, I've just been down the Loon Gorge. If you'd gone down that, the M6, in Israel at that time, for several hundred years, there would be temples for Baal, the sun god, the moon god. Every hill would have these temples, and they would be offering charms, incantations, spells. For the men, there was sex. You had to have sex for the temple prostitutes. You had to pay for it all. But they promised security. You know, come to the hills, and these temples, they would pray for you, they'd cast spells on you, they would make you safe. And so people say, well, you know, as they walk along, well, shall we try? I mean, I go to India, we've been to India a lot, I used to go every year. And, you know, and all other religions want the high places. The Baals always want the high places. Islam do it now. They want to build the temple on the high places. So I haven't time to go into it. The problem is, the hills are not the blessing. You know, the other thing is, you know, people say, well, it's just the hills of Jerusalem. Well, you know, let's get back to the familiar things. Even familiar old religion won't help you. You know, go, let's get Jerusalem, then we'll be okay. No, it wasn't the hills around Jerusalem. Neither was the pagan temples on the hills, the high places. The answer was the Lord. You see, you know, people think, you know, that they can just look to other things and get help. My help, he says, comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This isn't any tin pot little god. This is the maker of 100 billion galaxies. I don't understand that. There's 17 trillion stars for every human being on the face of the earth. Well, if you're like me, I've lost that already. My brain is packed. All I'm saying, this is the God. It's not some little Pentecostal deity. My eyes, says the psalmist, are on the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He made everything. He makes the laws of nature, the laws of science, the laws of agriculture, the laws of how everything works. He's in charge. And we are totally dependent for them, for our maintenance. And this all-powerful God will help you. And so this, I will lift my eyes to the hills. Now then, in verse 3, it's an antiphon. When they used to walk, they had, you know, they sang to each other, antiphonally. And now in verse 3, another singer comes in, a bass or a tenor comes in. And now it's the voice of experience comes in from verse 3 to 8. And he says, yeah, the Lord is your creator, but he's more than your creator. He's the God who watches over his children. He's not just an abstract creator like a watchmaker who makes a watch and then walks off. No, no. He looks over his creation. He doesn't just make it. He looks after his creation. He's the God who watches over his children. Verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, God has chosen in the Old Testament and the people of Israel. He is committed to them. And he's committed to look after us. He's covenanted to care for you. His reputation is on the line because of you. He is committed to you, to look after you. And that's what it's about. He's not a remote God who folded his arms there. Well, that's it. Off we go. Let it spin. No, no. He looks over his children. And, you know, my youngest son's, I'm thinking my youngest grandchild is now 5, I think. But when he says to her, hold my hand, the thing that is secure as they cross the road is not this little girl's hold of a dad's hand. The thing that matters is that the dad's hold of her. And the psalmist and the Bible says, you have to know how well, you're all held by God. I mean, you know, Jesus says, it says of Jesus, you know, I give them eternal life. And they, this is a Christian. And they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Right? Jesus says that. My hand. You're in hell by Jesus. But then he goes on to say, the Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is out of able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So you've got a double grip. Not just him, not just the Father, the Son holds you, but the Father holds you. Actually, I could even extend it, say the Spirit holds you as well. So you've a treble grip, if you like. But you're held. And you've got to hold on to this. And some of us, as we get older, and we seem to spend our time in hospital waiting rooms and all the rest of it. Seeing, you know, you've got the enemy can get in your mind, and you've got to put the helmet of salvation on, think as a Christian, and he watches over believers. He doesn't watch believers; he watches over them. You know, Christian does that. I don't know how many crashes, but you know, looking out now, the mother. If I went in, I would look at these kids, but the mother doesn't look at the kids, she looks over them. There's a big difference. The eyes are totally different, aren't they? I'm just looking at these noisy little Herberts, you know. And, you know, but the mum doesn't see it that way. She looks upon, she looks over them with tenderness. See, God is not almighty. He's infinitely tender. And he holds us. We have a double grip, says Jesus. Realize that. He will keep you. Now let's quickly, and I won't be that long tonight, don't worry. He watches over, first of all. He first over watches over without any interruption. He will never let you go. You know, and we do daft things. You remember Psalm 73, Asaph, the leader of worship in the big temple. Asaph, the great song leader. And he says, you know, he says, but as for me, he says, my feet had almost slipped. I had lost my foothold, he says. And often we're like that. We, you know, it's been icy, and you know, it's like, and the beast from the east, and you know, he's slipping around, and but he says he will not let your foot. He said he won't let that happen to you. I mean, Asaph said my foot was almost slipped. Then I went into the sanctuary. Says Psalm 73. This. Then I understood. See, often if you've got to think as a Christian. When you, that's where you need to be together. We need to open the Word. Asaph was slipping all over. He's the chief worship leader, and he's nowhere spiritually. Then I went among God's people. Then I understood. See, where you fought, a lot of you live on your own. You have time to worry. And you need to be with God's people to get truth into your heads. Because if you're like me, you can worry all day. And you know you've got to. But his love is without interruption. Well, are you sure? He's got to sleep. Yeah, Jesus is sleeping in the boat, and the boats. And he said, and they said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Jesus, he might be asleep, but he knows exactly what's going on. And we often think that, where is God? Where is Jesus? When everything's going, oops, I'm going to throw up, you know. You really feel seasick. I know what's going on. He's in charge. When you made Jesus Lord, he took your word, and he responds. This is care for you is what is without interruption. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he goes on to say, in verse 4, look, he says, verse 4, I think it says indeed. Indeed, it says. But the Hebrew actually says behold. They don't like behold in the modern Bible. It's an old word, isn't it? But actually the Hebrew is look, behold. He watches over you. You know? Will not slumber nor sleep. And he repeats himself. We often need to be told the truth. That's why you've heard all this stuff I'm telling you. I don't care about telling you again and again and again. Tell me the old story, for I forget so soon. You know the verse? And but does he see? Oh yeah, he sees. But does he care? Why does it appear is indifferent? The journey's so hard some days, isn't it? Why is it happening? I mean, you know, as a pastor, some of the stories we come across are just really hard. And you think, why? This journey is different. I have to say this, this journey in through life is not easy. It is dangerous. And Christians are the people who face up to the reality. Sin is a reality. It's not just a theological concept. It's a nasty thing that affected this world. And it's a hard journey. But the Lord watches over us. That's the first thing. Be assured of this. God has given his word to you. He will never stop loving you. He'll never stop looking after you. And I mean, if he can look after Israel, he can look after you. But the second thing, he says, you know, his watchful care is without exception. It's not just without interruption, it's without exception. See, we often feel, well, this thing is just for the vicars, the preachers and the leaders, you know, all this stuff. But, you know, me and my small does he really care for me as I live on my own, you know? Does he really care? I know you control the universe. What about me, you know? Somebody pointed out to me the other day, and it was very true. A long time ago, there was a film called Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments. It was in colour, just about. You know, but there's a funny thing in it. God has done all these miracles, these fantastic miracles against the Egyptians. You know, all these incredible things, the plagues and turning, you know, wonderful things. And he's set the people free. Anyway, in the film, he separated the water, and they're crossing the water, and there's some guy shouting, "Come on, hurry up, hurry up!" I think, you haven't a clue. God is just as concerned about the last family as the first family. Amen. Come on! I thought, that's not in the Bible, praise the Lord. You know, you know, because we think, oh, as long as he's got the kings out on the other side. No, he's concerned with you and me. We're little people, we're ordinary people. And he's concerned about us. His hand's upon us, and he's, you know, he doesn't drop you. He's not like in cricket, butter fingers, you know, you drop the catch. God doesn't let you slip through his fingers. He has you. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands, right? And God's eye and his hand are trustworthy. And he can hold on to you. And he uses two illustrations here. First of all, the sun. The sun is an enemy, believe it or not. Some of you have traveled, and you know, when it gets to 35, 40, it gets pretty hot stuff. And for little people like me, I can get frazzled. But it's very dangerous. It is dangerous. And it can be an enemy when it gets above 40 and you get heat stroke and all the rest of it. And Jewish people weren't on fancy creams and lightweight clothing. they didn't have all that gear in those days. And it's dangerous. And also, the interesting thing, he says, the moon will not strike me by night. Now, we don't think this way, but they thought everything that happened through the night was due to the influence by the moon. You know, that's where we get, you know, lunar, you know? Yeah. Lunatic. Because they thought any weird thing comes from the moon god or the moon or something weird at the night. And God said, look, I can look after you through the night. You know, don't worry about that. His care for us. The Lord is your shade, he says, at your right hand. He's going to look after you. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, it's not as big a deal in our culture. But that is a huge sentence. What he's saying is, all time is covered. Isn't it interesting? We all, in the middle of the night, have you ever been known to worry about through the middle of the night, 2 o'clock? I wonder what your son's up to, or your daughter's up to, or your grandkids. In the middle of the night, none of you, but I am, I do anyway. But all I want to tell you, God works the night shift, right? You don't have to worry. He will look after you. By the day, the blazing heat of Newcastle, or the cold, you know, or the night, all time is covered. The Lord will keep you from all harm. And the family says this, and his watch is not only without limit, without exception. It's not just the big boy, it's for all of us. It's also without limitation. He protects us through all the trials of life. Even though I pass through the valley of darkest gloom, the valley of death, you know, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The only time in that psalm where the shepherd comes alongside. It's not just ahead, now he comes alongside. Now the point is this, and this is a tricky bit in the psalm, he's not saying you won't have any problems. He is saying that he will protect you. You yourself, your soul, not your finances, not your house, but you as a person. He will look after you. Your soul is absolutely safe. You are the apple of his eye. He loves you. He will look after you. And nothing can penetrate your life without his permission. No poison can do that. No nerve gas can let you without his permission, right? And he does it himself, the Lord himself. He doesn't send an angel. Well, I am aware that 186,000 people this year will die because they're Christians, for their Christian faith. 186,000 die every year for their Christian faith. I'm not avoiding that. But all I'm saying is the Lord will look after you. But you say, well, you don't know what I've been through. You know, and all the martyrs. My friends, there are worse things that happen to us than dying. The worst thing happened than losing your job or your spouse. He says, he will save me from all that's evil. The best translation is from all that is bad. From all that is bad. Some things that happen to us that appear bad, but they're not. See, if you could have a surgery and they're going to, I don't know, let's say your appendicitis or something, and you know, it's really nasty. And you get this guy in a white coat with a big Swan Morton scalpel. But fortunately, your hope is sworn the Hippocratic oath is going to, and that in that hope, they promise not to do any harm to you. But you think, what? And he's going to cut here? And devil in and get it and guzzle inside. Yeah. But it seems bad. And they're going to, you know, anesthetize me. And anesthetics is just mild poison. I'll tell you that for nothing. In correct doses, of course. But it's going to do all. Yeah, but actually, it seems bad, but it's not evil. Ultimately, it's good. And God will not prevent you from all problems. But he will protect from all that is bad. The Hebrew should be bad. Evil. He will protect you from that. You have his promise. And does he keep you from all harm? Yes. From all problems? No. But he does something better. He says, look, I'll be with you. And some of you know better than I do. You've gone through a lot harder trials in life than I have. You've known the Lord's presence, even in the darkest times. He does keep his word. My brother lost his second child with a brain tumor. She was 30-odd. And it was a pretty difficult time. But he and his wife said to me, we've said to the Lord, this is the most special time in our life. And they took, you know, Rachel was taken to glory. But they said, we have never, ever known the presence and the wonder of God's presence in those months. Even a Jewish psychiatrist came and said, I just can't believe, you know, the sense of something in this house. All, and you can probably testify to similar times. And so we're not free from problems. But the thing is, Paul says, look, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, that first word is very difficult, all. Because you're going through things and you say, all? And the Lord says, all. What you're going through this week, all? Yeah, all. It's a hard word there, but the Lord, you have to hang on to it. Because God is at work in your life. God is doing. We sang, we sing these songs, make me pure, make me holy. This is how he does it. God's purpose for your life is not for you to have a fortune. If you do, bless you. It's actually to make us like Jesus. That's what this life's about. And he has strange ways. But we can trust him. And nothing can penetrate his life without his permission. And he will protect you from all evil as he works his purposes. These things will not harm you as a person. And this life is very short. We think it's going to go on forever. It's very short. We sung the first song. He's preparing us for a bit of a vast time in glory. Malcolm Muggeridge, some of you may remember, a broadcaster in the 50s, 60s, a very influential man, a quite permissive, left-wing, brilliant writer. But he came to the Lord, and he writes this, he says, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I've learned in my 75 years, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my existence, has been through affliction and not through happiness. Whether pursued or attained, it is the cross more than anything else that has called me inextricably to Christ. You won't fail, my friends. None of you Christians will fail, because he will keep you. You are his people. You see, all the waters in the sea can never sink a boat unless it gets into the boat, right? And all the sin in the world will not sink you unless it gets into you. And God will protect you. I mean, Paul says, look, who shall separate us? You know this verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. My Christian friend, you are safe. Whoever's elected down in Westminster, whoever in Europe or out here, all that nonsense, you are safe. Now, I'm not preaching complacency, I'm just saying, let this be the ground of our life. And the final thing is this, his love for you is without end. He will watch over your life. He doesn't watch over you, my friends, day by day. He doesn't watch over you hour by hour. He doesn't watch over you minute by minute. He watches over you second by second. He loves you so much, he never takes his eyes off you. The Lord will watch over your coming and going. Now and forever. That covers everything. There's no limit to his care. He pledges to look over you. Even you with all the struggles you have. You know, he couldn't be more sweeping in his promises. You know, the Latin Vulgate, it's a really wishy-washy translation. It says, may the Lord look after you, may the Lord watch over you. It doesn't say that. It's a promise. The Lord will look after you. The Lord will watch over you. It's not me. It's a promise. And, all you have to do this each morning is you've got to, when you get out of bed, you've got to fix your eyes on the Lord. That's it, first thing. You know, some of us fall out of both sides of the bed, don't we? The wrong side of the bed, it's on both sides some days. You know, the psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Always. You've got to know yourself. Whatever else you do in life. I went out this morning walking and down the Kent the Kent River. You know, and I said, just what you have to do. Some of you have got big issues in your life, with your kids and with your family. Whatever you do, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. You know? He will watch over you. What he asks you to do is to focus. Yeah, but you don't know my problems. Well, let me just tell you a story I read. Well, it's this chap, he got his first Rolls Royce. You remember when you got your first Rolls Royce? No. But anyway, he got his Rolls Royce and he was a wealthy man. And but he could find nothing in the blurb. You know, it's a while ago, this. He could find nothing in the manual to indicate the power of this engine, the car's engine, the horsepower. And so he made inquiries about this horsepower, this particular automobile. I mean, he paid a rather substantial sum for this vehicle. And he thought he would like to find out what the horsepower was. So he wrote back, I think it was to Derby. And he asked, could they provide him with this single piece of information? What is the horsepower of this splendid vehicle? And in those days of a telegram, they wrote back one word. They just sent it back, dear so-and-so, in answer to your question, and just put, adequate. They weren't going to tell him, it's just adequate. Now, whatever your problems are this week in Newcastle or wherever we live, and I have to tell myself, God, it's adequate. You know, you will never cause a frown on the brow of the Almighty that's, oh no, I can't cope. It's not like that. Oh, you said, I heard you say it. God is good. I heard you say it. We have to believe it. And God takes care of you all the time. All the time. What he wants you to do is to know his voice. You know, that's what my sheep hear my voice. And you have to read his word until it makes sense. Not to make sense, until it resonates. Yeah. It's no good speaking to John. If you need a word, he needs a word, does John and Tony. But we all need. Now, it's not just a trite thing. The whole of the Bible is the word of God. But we do need to hear it in such a way that it becomes life to us. And that's what David says. I set the Lord always before me. And that's what it's about. So his love for you is without interruptions, without limitations, and it's without end, my friends. You know, it's good news. It's good news. He's for you, my friends. And he says, my children, just believe it. It's too good to believe, really, isn't it? It's too wonderful to believe most days. But that's what we have to do. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you. He doesn't slumber. Indeed, he even watches over Israel. Neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. He will not harm you. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all that's bad. He will watch over your life. Isn't it a blessing being a Christian? Amen. I mean, seriously, how do you manage without the Lord? He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over you coming and going. We came a year ago, and we're going, it's been, you know, he's looked after us, and he's looked after you, hasn't he? Both now and forevermore. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. That's it, John.